that all that is done and being done in the name of God is in fact a commitment to him first and foremost by the people here. And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I would like to remind you once again of some of what the Bible says to us about God's love. And these are a number of scriptures. Firstly, God is love. We love because God first loved us. God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We heard that this morning. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that none should perish, but that a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. And I think when we put these verses together, we gain a great picture of what godly love looks like. First of all, God is love. So God and love are synonymous. They are one and the same. God loves us, and he always will, because God is love. We are commanded to love the Lord God, not to try to earn his love, but to return it to him. We love, we are told, because he first loved us. His love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that is why we can love God and why we can love one another, just as he commanded us to do. So it's all in him. We don't always do that well, of course, because we tend to sin. However, God's love remains because we are told that he gave his only Son in such love that we might be saved. And what Jesus did on the cross remains forever, forever done for all time. We're taught to love others as Jesus loved us, and in fact our love for one another is what will show the world that we are followers of Jesus. We will know that as we love one another, as Jesus commands us, that we will be on the right track. God is love, God loves us, and so we are to love God and to love one another. We might well say, well, that's fine for those we actually relate to and connect to within the fellowship of God's people as we are here today. But what of today's opening sentence from Jesus to love our enemies? What do we make of that? Jesus is asking a lot of those who will follow him. Love those who hate you. Love those who misuse you. Do good to those who abuse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. These teachings seem so difficult to come to terms with. So how do we do so? I'm sure we all aspire to be just like Jesus, to say what he said and to do what he did. We want above all else to be like him. It's how we want to live and the way we want our world to be. But what do I do when I meet someone who is unloving, who is hurtful or cruel, who is actually unlovable, or we may think undeserving of our judgment and condemnation? Sadly, this world in which we live seems to be filled with enemies, haters, curses and abusers. In many cases, the exact opposite of what Jesus is saying. Currently, we've seen images of some of the hostages from Israel being paraded and then released by their enemies, Hamas, some in coffins. I must say personally that I found it very, very difficult to come to terms with what has been done and still being done to the people of Israel by them. Perhaps this is an extreme challenge for me that will take some lengthy working through. But the term love your enemy seems to take on added severity when we consider these things. However, as severe as the term sounds, and before we take exception to what is being done, we do well to read, and I'd read from the book of Romans, Paul says to us, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. It's very graphic. We're reminded that we were enemies of God before we came to know and love him ourselves, and yet he loved us just the same. Even though so often we are unthankful, he goes on loving us. At times, I'm sure we all agree, probably he has cause to not love us for some of the things we do and say. I'm sure we all know the verse well. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. God's love extends to all humanity, his creation. He wants every single person on this earth to know him and to experience this great depth of his love. And it is a radical way of living, especially when we consider this world and the terrible things that happen in it and are happening today. What does this mean for us today? Well, we may not be able to put right all the evils of the world, but what of those times when we've ended a relationship or refused to see or speak with someone who has offended us? From whom are you withholding forgiveness at this time? Jesus said, unless you forgive others, I will not forgive you. That's a scary statement. When have you condemned or made a judgment about someone else's life and then taken joy in sharing that with another person? Have you wanted to get even with someone who has hurt you or someone you love? And I think these things are the real challenge before us this morning, the real struggles we all face day by day. The world around us is complex and I think very difficult for so many these days. Relationships are difficult and life is very fragile. Perhaps more than ever we need the words of Jesus and the love of God to survive it all, but it's not easy. Jesus tells us clearly what we are to do, and we have to wrestle with what it means to each one of us. And it starts with our Christian belief that God is in charge of this world, his world, no matter what may be happening in it. And when you can believe that, it may make the possibility of forgiving our enemies all that more possible. As always, Jesus is our example and our purpose. Filled with faith and conviction that God was in charge of his world, in spite of evidence to the contrary, Jesus lived fearlessly, he loved courageously, and he forgave endlessly. And especially so his own people, who were in great part responsible for his death on the cross. We're certainly thankful that Jesus did what he later taught us to do, as recorded in Luke. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Don't condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Jesus did exactly that for us all. He didn't come to judge us. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world and to love us. And so he sends us out into the world to do the same, not to condemn or judge, but to bless and love. And this kind of love, of forgiveness, is only possible when we truly believe that God is in charge. Not to do that is to take matters into our own hands. And when we do, we lose the ability to love and forgive and to bless and to pray for those we might consider our enemies. We all live in the gap between what Jesus is saying and what we are thinking and living. And in truth, we often face the reality of the distance between his teaching and our behaving. In each of our lives, there are contradictions between who we say we are and who we show ourselves to be, between our beliefs and our actions, between our life in Christ and our life in the world, and often that places us in a place of tension. We often think of faith as being about what we believe. However, what about our behaviour? What if faith is about how we live? What if it's about doing the gospel as Jesus states it? What if our behaviour is an indicator of what we believe or who or what matters most to us? What consequences do our words and actions have on others we relate to? Are there behaviours we need to change or stop for the well-being of others or indeed for ourselves? Every day we are faced with a choice in the way we live, God's way or our way. If we choose our way, it will often mean that we will keep score, be angry, be vindictive, and measure our relationships and how others are towards us. Frighteningly, we are seeing this on the world stage at this very moment, and we wonder where it will take us. We look at the news at times, at night time, and I wonder why we do that, because terrible things are taking place. Everything seems to be in question. And the clear issue I see is that good or evil playing out before us is to the extreme. But when we choose God's way, it will mean consideration of others, looking to him for his protection and provision, asking his wisdom and guidance, and looking in our day-to-day activities for what that means in our connection with others. It will mean that we are less likely to be anxious, less fearful, less suspicious, and less needy. But this way of living changes our attitudes towards others and makes space for them. One of the things we all know is that the pain of the fallen world is great. As I mentioned in the New Testament reading today, we're given the story and shown what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we're in our spiritual bodies. But that's ahead of us. Everyone has a story of pain hidden somewhere behind the life that is shown to the world, even here in this fellowship. We can never really know what is going on inside the heart and mind of another. And surely that is why Jesus tells us not to judge or condemn others, but to be forgiving and loving towards them. Could that be the reason Jesus tells us to love our enemies, to be good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, and to pray for those who abuse us? Only God truly knows the heart of another. He alone knows the pain contained in the other person's story. You and I may not be able to take away the pain of the world, but neither do we need to add to it. As we have considered a little of this story today, how can we be practical about how we are to love those sworn to hate us and want nothing but our end? Can our fear be so deep within us that our Christian charity is stifled and not able to reach these people? But a major factor is what I shared earlier. This is God's world. He controls it despite it at times seeming not so. Jesus came and died for all human beings, good and bad, and especially for those who will turn to him and believe in him. We are vividly reminded when we read the scriptures that we ourselves were once in that place of separation from him ourselves. As we heard, we were enemies of God ourselves. We learned that we human beings are often evildoers, subject to ignorance, stupidity or blindness rather than simply being bad. And when we are asked to do good to those who hate us, could it mean that we are to look at ourselves and remove what may be of offence to them? How often are we to be blamed for their indifference? And do our ideas threaten or our opinions upset them? Finally, I feel most of all, our Lord Jesus is asking us to do whatever we can to become his true and obedient servants and disciples, spreading his love abroad to the very best of our ability and capacity, and doing our very best to love those who are difficult to love. We're reminded again that God is love, and we love because he first loved us. We are to know it, and we are then to show it. Amen. Father, once again, we thank you for your word. It always reminds us of who you are and how it is that you want us to live. Father, I pray that the words that I've shared this morning are not those of condemnation for my brothers and sisters, but words of encouragement. That the only way through this life, Lord God, is to know and experience your love and to be able to share it abroad. Share it with those around us. Share it with those who are difficult to love. But at all times, remembering that you loved us first and foremost. And we love because you loved us. Lord, I commit this fellowship, Church of the Way, to you. And I commit to you, Lord God, brothers and sisters who are hurting this morning for whatever reason. And I pray that your love would flow, that you would touch every heart, that you would meet every need, and that people would go from this place today knowing and understanding how great is your love for us, each one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.